Hello, everyone. You are listening to the John and Joe Show podcast. My name is John Kerr, publisher of the Kerr Report newsletter, and I'm joined now by the Joe portion of the John and Joe Show. Proud Moneyline Mustang, Northern Illinois Husky, Daily Herald alum, and part-time ABC 7 morning show commentator. Joe Aguilar joins the show. Joe, how are you?
Hey, I'm doing well, John. The good news is it's December, so we're almost done with 2020, right?
Yeah, let's put that state in the rearview mirror, and we wanted to have an opportunity before the year closes out to talk to one of our favorite guests on the John and Joe Show podcast. He is the head football coach at Antioch High School. His name is Brian Glassagel. He joins us now. Hey, Coach Glass, how are you?
John, I'm doing excellent. Joe, good morning.
Morning.
And hope to have Glass on in 2021 to actually talk about football. And, of course, there are some things happening in his program here in December that's worth talking about, which we'll ask him about in just a few minutes. But the first question off the bat is, you know, Brian, as we're taping this on December the 3rd, yesterday, December the 2nd, there was some news from the IHSC Board of Directors meeting regarding potential contact dates for spring sports, which is what football is currently under. What is your interpretation of that? And just in terms of the your overall state of football here as we head into 2021?
Yeah, so I'm the internal optimist. At least that's what my coaches always say. So I think the fact that they're meeting and they're acknowledging and having conversations about the future is a very good thing for us. I mean, because I think all of us, whether it's sports or your job or profession, you want, you know, when you don't hear anything for a long time, I think it's natural for people to start worrying and wondering what's going on. So when they're talking about potential contact days, getting things going, I think that that's a very good sign for them to at least. You know, I think all of us here and you guys that have been involved in sports so long, I think you just want to know that they're meeting and having those conversations about the future, because we all are, as coaches and sports fanatics, on, you know, I sure hope the plan, what is it going to look like, is being discussed. And at least in my perspective, that looks like that's what's happening, you know, down in Bloomington at the IHSA, you know, that they're having those same conversations. So I like that. I think that was a good sign.
Yeah. Hey, guys, there will be some football activity, I guess, so to speak, in a couple of weeks here. We have the national signing period. Of course, two of the best, one of the best quarterbacks that's ever probably played in Lake County. I don't think that's an exaggeration. And Ethan Kaliak Manis and brother Dino, they're both going to be signing with Minnesota. I know the school, you know, a couple of weeks back or last month, whenever it was, that some of the other sports, they had signing little celebrations or photo opportunities at their respective high schools. What's going to go on at Antioch with the Kaliak Manis? And I know you have a couple other players, not D1 kids necessarily, but who are looking at some college opportunities. What can you give us a little update on what's going on there with not only the Kaliak Manis and what you might be doing with them, and then some other your players?
Yeah, going back to your first question, the signing part, I think we're doing what a lot of other schools are doing. It's kind of virtual, so the kids are doing this at home or in their living room. And so that we're going to probably just do that, because we did that earlier, you know, last semester, where we kind of had to stage, you know, you kind of do that for the photo op part. And then your second question, you know, we have Jaden Marquis, will be making a decision here soon. He has multiple opportunities. We've had an O-lineman, Max Ness, who's been starting since he was a sophomore, that I know is going to be playing at the next level. A defensive end, Lucas Bentley, has opportunities. He's looking at a school. He's super smart, 4-point. So is Max Ness. They're high academic. He's looking to go do football and lacrosse, hopefully at a D2, D3 type school. Max also is looking to wrestle and play football, probably at a smaller high academic institution. You know, and then we have a handful of guys probably on every roster that are kind of weighing their options on where they can go. High academic kids, good high school football players that can end up at a nice D3 school, get a good education and do that. So that's, you know, that's kind of where we're at as far as those kids signing and going on to the next level. Our current senior, I mean, we are super excited to have a season. This senior class is about as talented as we've ever had. Besides the names you guys bring up, we have a whole crew of about 20 something of them that are really, really good athletes, football players, students, and so we're praying to the gods that we have a season coming up. But yeah, there's a whole crew. There'll be a whole batch of those kids.
I'm going to ask you about Ethan. You know, I think I speak for pretty much every high school football fan around here that you miss seeing him play in particular because, again, we just don't see quarterbacks like this come around often, certainly up here. But you look at his career, Glass, I mean, spends year one at Carmel, showed a lot of promise, and then he transfers back to his hometown to you guys at Antioch, has a real good sophomore season. You guys go to the quarters. His junior year ends short because of an injury. He only plays half the season. And now the senior season, fall season, obviously off the boards. Who knows what's going to happen in the spring, as we mentioned. How would you sum up his career? And I guess it's going to be over here, whether it's in 4 months or whatever, or it's already over. We don't know. But how would you sum up his career as a high school quarterback and, you know, what you'll remember most about his 3 years, I guess, and yeah, but bigger picture, just his 4 years of being a high school varsity quarterback.
Well, Joe, you remember the days of, you know, I've coached at a couple other high schools. I was at I was at Carmel for 10 years back with Andy, Coach Bitto. You know, so for me, my 27 years of coaching and going against people. I don't know how many opponents I've coached against, how many teams I've coached with. He's the best quarterback I've ever seen. And that goes back to, you know, the 90s when I started coaching and we were playing playoff teams and we were in the playoffs. If in my coaching career, you're trying to pick, you're picking the best players I've ever been involved with. And even from opposing teams, you know, playing even the Mount Carmels, the Joliet Catholics, Cary Groves over the years, Notre Dame, you know, he's the number one draft pick. So I don't know what other adjectives I can use. I'm all adjectived out talking. But, you know, I think that's a lot because that's thousands of players, you know, when you go back to as long as I've been coaching, he's the number one draft pick. That says a lot. Because, you know, as his ability to throw, his ability to run, his ability to make plays, we all watch football. I mean, a great quarterback is the ultimate equalizer in the game of football. And he's the best I've ever seen, coaching against and having in a team. So he's once in a – I think all head coaches would tell you every once in a while you get those once-in-a-lifetime players that can really change a game. And some coaches in once-in-a-lifetime of coaching never get it at the quarterback position.
And, right.
You know, so I don't know. I don't know if I said what you want to hear, but, I mean, that's about it. A complete high school quarterback – as you can have. I'm excited. He's got all the tools mentally, physically, at the next level to have success. And I think I think we will be seeing that. We might be on a podcast together in a couple of years from now talking about, you know, him tearing up the Big Ten and having success at that level. I would bet a lot of money on that.
Yeah, and just his maturity level, too. We've seen that, John, I mean, mm-hmm. since his freshman year. He's just not – even take away the football side of it, Glass, and you know him better than we do, but his maturity level is really really high. And I, certainly that, you have to think his parents have a great deal to do with that. But ultimately, it's the kid. You can raise your kids however great you can, as great as you can. But ultimately, it's the kid, too. But even Dino, too. I mean, he one of the two of the nicest kids. We've said it, John, how many times? Nicest, bright kids come up to you to say hello, say the right things. I've never heard one of those kids say to me, off the record, on the record, something that I thought, you're showing your age, like I probably would have when I was that age. But I can't say enough about those two kids as people, let alone football players. So,
no, and we'll talk about Ethan and Dino and maybe with the signing day coming up in a couple of weeks, Joe. We're working on some things around the signing date for the show, for this opportunity. But I think also one other thing that Glass said, it's in an era where the quarterback is more important than it ever has been, right? When you're coming up at Carmel or maybe before, you handed the ball off a lot, right? Hand the ball off to the fullback and maybe running that option offense. Certainly quarterbacks had to make reads, but man, the ability to run the football, to be able to throw the ball downfield and to have the size. I know, and Ethan has certainly worked on that. He's gotten a lot more stout and stronger over the 4 years to be able to see over defenders. And I watch games on college on Saturdays. I just see 21, 22-year-old versions of Ethan. Like I see him playing in those offenses, right, that you see now that are so quarterback-centric. And there's just whether, and certainly going to Minnesota in a program that has a quarterback, Tanner Morgan, I think they're right now is currently there, who's had a pretty good couple of years. He's going to step right up there and perform, I think, there for the Gophers. But hopefully we'll have an opportunity, said, to see him for several more games there with Antioch coming up here in the spring. And again, our guest is Brian Glassigel, the head football coach at Antioch High School. We're talking 2021 football and certainly the signings of Ethan and Dino Caligmanis coming up here later this month. And back to football in the spring or late winter, I guess, technically, right, Brian, when it actually starts playing. I know you saw this. I think you posted this, I think, on Facebook, which was a post from the executive director of the Washington Intercollegiate Athletic Association. And he made a really good point in this letter, which I tweeted out a couple of days ago, about related to what's happening here and the cancellation of sports, or the postponement of sports here, at least in Illinois. And he talked about something called education-based sports and activities and the importance of this in the school system. And what we're doing now by separating sports and school is you're eliminating one when they should be together. You can't modify athletics and still say that education is extremely important. I want to ask you about that a bit and why what you've seen so far, even the last, several months without your athletes being able to participate, the importance of the combination of athletics and academics and really what your definition is of education-based sports.
Well, I think it's an old saying, but I've heard it when I was a young coach coming up. Coaching after school is nothing but education. We just change clothes after school, and education continues. Whenever I'm having conversations with parents and adults, regular teachers teach for about 5 hours a day. I teach for 8 hours a day, 9 hours a day. So you're losing a third of the educational process with these young kids. And so already what we've lost by not having them in the building, socializing, is detrimental. And it's ironic, John, Joe, I just had a conversation with some coaches, former coaches, educational people, administrator. We're on a nice email chain. I got some friends and coaches at St. Charles, Wakanda. We're all in this big chain. And, the conversation of we're going to look back at this time and we may not realize for a year or two just the damage we have done. And maybe not control. I'm not criticizing admin when I'm saying this, but the damage that is being done educationally, socially, to this generation, I think that will be one of the things we look back and critique and kind of look at what could we have done differently. But with that being said, yes, absolutely. Every school everywhere is struggling with kids, you know, academically. Yeah, what's the statistic? We started, I remember this, our superintendent, Jim McKay, started our institute day a year ago. The very first slide he had at our institute day was the correlation between kids in sports and their average GPA. And we all know it because we're all former athletes involved. When a kid is involved in sports, they perform better academically. They go hand in hand. John, to answer your question, you cannot separate the two. They are all part of the same educational process. It's a holistic entity. The it's all tied in together. So when you're eliminating, for some of these kids, that educational piece, that socialization piece, the fact that they're dealing with adults, role models, parental figures, some of their best friends, some of the best highlights of high school, of being in high school, that is a major blow to the educational process. Right now at a lot of schools, kids are logging online, doing assignments. It's become a deadline, checklist, work completion type thing. And that's not what education is about. And, you know, it's tough because I know there's coaches all over. The coaches you guys talk about are trying their best to try to keep that part alive. But it's tough without the bringing, you know, having to do anything together. And so, you know, we're no different than I'm sure, you know, Coach Becker at Stevenson or McNulty or Coach Plans at Lake Zurich, any of the coaches, we're trying to create opportunities, atmospheres, things to kind of keep that optimism and keep that educational part going. But it's tough. It really is. I think that article, I would say I hope people have learned what we know so far. I hope we've seen the amount of kids that are getting D's and F's, the amount of kids that GPAs that are normally good students that have dropped, the amount of kids that are just disconnected. And we learn from that, reevaluate that, and take a different approach. As a football coach, it's halftime coming up. I hope we make some halftime adjustments for the second half of the school year because we need to. It's, in my opinion, it is not working. It's not working. Yeah.
Some great points, and I'm glad, you know, you mentioned the fact that the long-term effects of this. Everyone talks about the long-term effects of COVID if you've tested positive, and we don't know what those are going to be, but not enough people are talking about the long-term effects of kids losing these 9-10 months, whatever. It's going to be longer, likely, of being in the classroom. Speaking of which, before we started taping here, we were talking to you, and you, as people can't see this on the podcast, but you're in your classroom right now. I know you go there every day, and you're teaching remotely, but you're allowed to have a couple of kids in at night, just kids who really need the help, maybe who aren't passing. But I was saying to you, I mean, I think every kid would relish that opportunity, whether you're getting A's or you're failing, just to be in the classroom, get some one-on-one interaction with the teacher. What's going on there at Antioch at night? What can you share with us about what you guys are doing to at least help some of those kids who especially need the help?
Yeah, again, kudos to admin for coming up with this. And, you know, listen, we can all critique superintendents and, you know, decisions in different school districts. They're dealing with it, you know, as best they can. But we adjusted, and so these last 3 weeks of the semester, kids have opportunities to come in 5:30 to 7:30 at night, and then actually Saturdays 9 a.m. to 12, we have teachers from every department available. And you know, like we were talking earlier, just some kids need to get out of the house. You know, some of us have been to college. I always say, I probably did more studying at Denny's and Steak and Shake and the campus library than I did in my own dorm. You just need to get out and change the scenery a little bit. And it's why I'm here at school. It's why, Joe, you're in your basement doing the podcast. You just need a place where you can work without disruptions. And, you know, these kids at home have all the distractions in the world, the trips to the refrigerator, putting on the television, texting with their friends, you know, maybe little brothers and sisters running around, dogs chasing squirrels. right, Joe?
I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah, I know. I'm serious, though. You know, all those things. And sometimes the best thing to do is just grab your, you know, grab your Chromebook, grab your textbooks, get out of here, get into the building. And we had a bunch of kids here last night that made up a bunch of missing assignments. And just in one night, some of the football players I had here improved their grades just by 2 hours of work that they just need to get out and do stuff. So it's good. You know, that's an adjustment. I just talked about making an adjustment. Our admin made an adjustment. We're going with it. And the, you know, every night since we've done it, we're seeing an increase of all students coming into the building for either tutoring or just silent time and getting work done, which is good. That's a good thing.
It's great.
Yeah, I think last, if you wanted to track down, you know, a good study place for Joe, I think back in his NIU days, you probably had to, you know, call him at Fatty's, you know, or I heard the
McCabe's or something.
I heard the study environment there was just perfect to get that out, to get that, you know, college algebra done.
Algebra.
Well, come on, you're a reporter, dude. I mean, I barely passed college algebra. That's the last time I took it, like in 1990. I mean,
I took 1 year of college math. I got my D and got out. That's all.
There you go. There you go.
Not proud of that, but that's the reality of it. So, yeah.
Or maybe it was Sullivan's. At a place at the Calb. Sullivan's, another place. I don't know. I heard the grouper was really good there. That's all I remember. all right, our last couple minutes here with Brian Glassagel, the head football coach at Antioch. I know he's got a class here coming up in a few minutes. So Brian, just based on where we are football-wise, I know you gave us an assessment there at the beginning of the show. But as we're taping this on December the 3rd, we're, what, almost 2 months away, maybe 10 weeks away from practice officially starting on February 15th. We got the holidays coming up. You know, after that, it's going to be a very, very rapid countdown here until those practices start. You know, the biggest hurdle right now is, we know the same thing for basketball and for football, is the labeling that we have in the state. Football is considered a high-risk sport. So is basketball. And there are mitigations because of that labeling, which prevents games. Hoping that in certainly in January, that the contact dates will allow more gatherings and be able to do more type of practices. But still, we're limited in this world of mitigations and pauses and tiers and labels and blah, blah, blah. What from your level of confidence, I know you said how optimistic you are of this. At some point, there needs to be some indication that label will go down at some point and go to medium or potentially low risk at some point. When does that have to happen? What is, in order for you to be on the field practicing, getting ready for your games in March, what is a realistic time frame for these decisions to be made to where, hey, it's great to be optimistic, right? But there's a realism that has to sit in here as well. What is, for you, what is a timeline or what is the decisions that have to be made here in the coming weeks and months?
Well, I think the decisions need to be made by February 15th, which the IHSA has identified as the start date. But I think it's just not solely at football. We need to, again, back up and take a look. You're talking about distribution of a vaccine in this country by the end of December, you know, however many millions by January. And that's optimism. You're looking at millions and millions of Americans being vaccinated, even including the, you know, people that don't want to take the vaccine. You're looking at millions and millions of Americans that have had COVID by that point, unfortunately, but at some point we'll have, you know, months to maybe years of immunity. And I know the research on that is still out. So as you know, I'm trusting the science and the doctors, John, and, you know, they're saying this month is going to be the roughest. January will be as rough. It'll start decreasing. And, you know, according to the doctors and science, which have been spot on with what they're saying. You know, you're looking, you know, post January as, you know, a general decline in improvement. And I'm thinking from that aspect, you know, we're going to be in a much better place in a couple of months from now than we are now. As far as the mitigations, you know, I always thought the NCAA has the hardest approach to athletics, you know, putting a bunch of people on college campuses when they're going to gather. I always thought they had the hardest obstacle. Then I thought the pros, maybe the second, but the high school level, I mean, listen, there's a reason why the high school kids and younger are the last on the vaccine list that's coming out. They're the least affected. The virus, you know, studies have shown some of them, the virus doesn't like young people and this and that. I know they can transmit it, but there's a reason why they are the last to get the vaccine. And so that's the safest group that could be participating. And not to cause complications with basketball or the indoor sports, what else have we learned? Outside is the best place to be if you're going to be in groups of people. I mean, we know that, and I trust the science. The science says outside is fine. These athletes that are getting COVID, not getting it at the activity. The college athletes are getting it off campus and things like that. So to say that people – and that are, and I'm kind of using that article you talked about, you know, transmitting it outside in athletic activity is just – factually, statistically, scientifically, now not how it's being transmitted. The biggest concerns and mitigations will be, you know, how are athletic programs going to deal with maybe not having locker rooms? How are we going to deal with team rooms and trying to gather, you know, 40, 50, 70, 80 football players? That I think is some of the things that when you talk with coaches, and if I was on a board with the IHSA, those are some of the things that I could see them saying. When we go with football, the concern isn't football practice being outside practicing. There might be mitigations where they say, you know, no indoor practice whatsoever. If we're practicing February 15th and it's a snowstorm, you can't go in. You either practice outside in the snowstorm, or you got to cancel practice. I could see those mitigations, because if we're basing it on science and what we've known now, those actually make sense. And as frustrated as a coach may be, or a head coach listening to this may be, that might be the cards that were dealt. As long as we're outside, you're fine. And if you're masked up, kind of what we've been doing, you know, we've kind of been trained with that. Outside and in certain things, you know, wearing a mask February 15th, I don't think is going to be a problem. I don't even take my mask off now when I go to my car because it's pretty cold out. But, you know, I think those are some of the mitigations, John, that we need to think about if and when football gets going, that some of those large gatherings, especially indoors, might not happen. And even if the IHSA doesn't say them, I would be really hesitant as a head coach to have an entire team meeting indoors with kids. So, you know, the conversation has improved. We're in a better spot now than we were a month ago. We're in a better spot now than, you know, the more we know, the better we are with the virus, but the better we are in handling and mitigating the virus. And, I think we'll be better in two more months where we're at. So that's why I'm optimistic.
Hey, Glass, we'll let you go. Good talk with you. Great stuff. As always, one of our favorites here on the John and Joe podcast. So we know you got to get to class. So thanks again, man. Good seeing you. Good talking with you.
Appreciate you guys. Anytime.
Appreciate it.
Thank you, Brian. Appreciate the time. There you go. That's Brian Glassagel, head football coach at Antioch High School, and all sorts of stuff as typically we do with Glass Joe. I think the main thing with him is it was nice to hear from somebody as experienced and as well respected in the state and the county as Brian Glassagel. Give us some some positive news here, at least, even if it's not necessarily grounded in reality in terms of what the political climate is here in the state of Illinois, because we're still dealing with the bottleneck, which is Governor Pritzker. He's somebody who is well-connected, talks to a lot of people. And I know that I feel a lot better now after the last 30 minutes, right, Joe, of talking to Todd. I usually do when we talk to Coach Glass.
Yeah.
But specifically about the future of football in 2021 and us being able to play some type of a season in the late winter and spring.
Yeah, I agree. And, you know, we love – how many times have we had him on our podcast? It's always a good conversation with him. The thing you really like about Glass is he's always transparent. And but he I don't think – even if you agree or disagree with him on whatever topic, I never find – I don't think he presents it in a negative way, you know. And that's the coach in him too. You know, he knows how to speak, and he knows how to speak without offending people. And he's just a smart guy. And I agree. I mean, the sport, you know, I worry about more and more now is basketball and what kind of season, if any, we'll have with basketball, with high school basketball. But football, yeah, I mean, you know, I know these months are starting to fly by and we're not gaining any progress at times, it seems, but we still got 2 months here to figure out football and at least have some kind of season. That would just be brutal, but it would be brutal to lose, to go back-to-back years without a state tournament. Think about that. But
Joe, that's what, whether it be basketball or it be football, certainly the health and safety aspect of it, and Glass talked about that, how there are some things, even at the micro level, at these individual schools that maybe aren't being discussed at the state level or national level in terms of realistic mitigations. Meaning, if you're going to play football in February, it's going to be cold outside in Illinois. So the challenges you have in playing outside, if it's below zero or if there's a snowstorm, those types of things. Having 70... Let's say do you have underclassmen play? Because if you have underclassmen play, that's more athletes, right, gathering in a concentrated spot. So not being able to do typical meetings inside, right, where, you know, film work is very important and most teams will have a designated film room. Well, now it's going to be about, okay, we're going to have to do that on Zoom when you guys get home, right? So these are all the mitigations that, again, each individual program will have to work through, but if it means that there's still football, and if that means it's, even if it's a shortened season or just a conference only schedule, and then if they're not able to have a state tournament, just because of concerns over the health and safety of it, I think anybody listening to this, if you're associated with any kind of sport, you'll be happy to take that. I just say, man, it's that labeling and getting the governor to knock that down to a medium risk. That still has to happen, right? And those are the concerns that I have, just kind of based on the climate and the things that he continues to say at his press conferences about what's happening here in the state, which is, again, as opposed to focusing on caseloads that are going down in a lot of cases here in terms of counties and regions, and things that are happening here that are improving the situation. The language continues to be about fear and about anecdotes and still no information based on actual science, because he simply refuses to come clean on what he's using. And there's been some articles written this week about that, where people are starting to get really fed up about this right now. And we're, even his own experts are saying that we don't know where he's pulling this information out of or how he's making these types of conclusions. So anyway, so we are at a state here where sports are on hold. There's not much happening here in December, and the can continues to get kicked for another week, and hoping and wishing that things will change. And I just don't hope is, you know, as Lou Holtz once said, hope is not a strategy.
Yeah. hope is a good thing. Maybe the best thing. That's the Shawshank Redemption line. One of my favorite movies.
Yes.
And
yes.
Tim Robbins' character, Andy Dufresne, tells Red, right? Hope is a good thing, maybe the best thing. But yeah, we're getting tired of that, right? I mean, man, almost 10 months into this, or 9 months, whatever, wherever we're at. But yeah, the governor got to budge a little bit. Because again, we've said it all along, if he can, you know, lighten the restrictions a little bit here, they'll find a way. And, the more I think about it, you know, football in February or March, I mean, it's cold, but we're really not getting, you know, days that are sub-freezing. I mean, it'll be doable. I mean, heck, we know, you know, postseason games, you get to the quarters, or even week nine. I've covered week nine games, as I'm sure you have, John. It was freezing. So, you know, I think they'll be fine. And we likely are not going to have much snow on the ground. Occasionally we get hit with a snowstorm in mid-February or March, but not often. I think, it's doable. But I think we're just so used to being so used to receiving negative news that it's wearing on all of us as far as those who want to see high school sports get back to get on the fields and get back on the court. So,
yep. And I think lastly, before we kind of wrap up, I think it's important for even from if you're a football fan and you're wondering, hey, are we going to be able to play in 2021? I think being able to play some form of a basketball season, and again, or anything here in the winter, there needs to be, I think, some sign that there's loosening of these restrictions and that there is participation in some type of a form. And that would be, whether it be basketball here in the winter, or even if it's moved, I'm not sure how you can play basketball and football in the spring, just in terms of gym space and the sharing of athletes. And we could do an entire show, Joe, on that topic, on the challenges of having those two sports override each other. Will be very difficult. But I think there are a lot of conversations happening behind the scenes. I wish there were more people publicly speaking out about these things. I wish the Illinois Football Coaches Association would be releasing statements. I wish there were politicians locally that would come out and speak out more. But that's not what we're seeing here in the state. I know there was going to be a rally down in the city this weekend on Saturday, which I'm hoping to get down to myself and be a part of that and just sort of be in that environment where you feel like you are at least doing something, that there's some activity mm-hmm. going in some type of direction. But again, that's why giving an opportunity for somebody like Brian Glassagle to speak, and I hope people are listening to him. And if you want an enlightened viewpoint, call him, tweet him, email him. This is a guy who I think has got a very, again, he said, very, extremely positive outlook. And if you get some time with Coach Glassagle, he'll share with you some other things as well. Like he's a big conspiracy theorist guy right there, Joe. So he might tell you about the Loch Ness monster sighting over there by Loon Lake.
There's some college football coaches. You never know.
John Dillinger. Did you happen to see John Dillinger there on Rosecrans? Was he walking to a Hobby Lobby there, I think, on Rosecrans?
we love him. We do.
Oh, he's the best.
He's one of our favorites.
And he's not,
we have a lot of favorites, but he's one of them.
And he's not here to respond to that. So I want to say the next time I see him, he could be sure to say that. He probably would say, yeah, I think I did see. No, anyway. But all right. Well, that's going to do it for today. Again, want to thank Brian Glassagle, the head football coach at Antioch High School, joining us today. And we'll be back next week with another episode of the John and Joe Show. Again, thanks everybody for listening. For Joe, I'm John. Say goodbye, Joe.
See you.